I think I need to just recap a little bit because this morning continues where we left off last Sunday. So Father, again, today's a day where you shared last night already that it's a time for deliverance, a time for freedom, a time for the reality of what your Son Jesus did on the cross to become so real, so deep within each one of us, and the joy of being in your kingdom, the joy of understanding sonship in a way that we have not yet understood. So we thank you for, first of all, your gift that you've given to us, your Son's righteousness that you've given, that it becomes ours. What an incredible joy and a place to be able to be, to know that your righteousness is now our righteousness as a gift, and we receive this by faith. And we want to thank you for that, because this opens up the door. This opens up everything for us to be able to be one with you, to be able to relate with you, to be able to really grow into the reality of what it is to be your children. So by your Spirit this morning, because when your Holy Spirit is Lord, there is freedom. And that's what we're going to experience today, Holy Spirit, because you are Lord over here in our lives. We thank you for the freedom. We want to just receive and declare the freedom that comes through you, Jesus Christ. You've come to set us free, and we want to grow into the reality of that freedom as you help us. We want to be able to share your good news to mankind from a place of knowing the freedom, knowing what you have done, and to be able to experience the rule of your kingdom within us that is so profound and so awesome, so big. And so this morning, thank you as you lead us and open up more truth to us and take us deeper in an understanding of what took place when we got born again. And this we thank you for through Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Just quickly a recap. Last Sunday, we're continually looking at different ways that we can share the good news, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And very often, one of the most quoted scripture is at John 3:16, is, "For God so loved the world, that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." And then, because God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, that's an important word, but to save the world through his Son. And those who believe in him are no longer condemned. They have eternal life. But those who do not believe him, they already stand condemned. That's a condition. And in verse 18, we see concerning the wrath of God. And so there's a lot of insights over there on how to share the gospel, because a lot of people say they know that scripture. But then, so last Sunday, we started to go a little bit deeper in that. And today, we want to just continue looking at something. And so the theme over the last Sunday and this Sunday is beginning to recognize the evidence of the gift of righteousness that we have received, that our Father has given to us. How do we recognize the evidence operating within our lives so that when we speak, we know that we have received the gift of righteousness? We're living in the reality and the life of this righteousness. And so that's what we're busy looking at the moment. And that's such an important, to be able to identify with the fruit of righteousness within us, the harvest of righteousness within us, so that we know that we have received his righteousness as a gift. we know that there's no condemnation for us who believe, because by faith we have received the righteousness as a gift from God. And so we want to make sure that we know. And many people that you may be dealing with are in a place where they're not sure of their salvation. And so this will be very helpful to start to see, can they recognize the evidence of them having received by faith God's righteousness, and they're standing now with God? Can they recognize all that comes with that? And so God's busy opening it up for us. And so on last Sunday, we looked there, for instance, at Romans 5, And we were looking there at the reality of God's love. And I'm just going to read those scriptures quickly. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, so this is where this righteousness comes into play. God has declared us because we are now righteous, because we have received His righteousness. God declares us not guilty. We are flawless. We are sinless. That's our standing with God. Now, with that standing with God, now we begin to understand that the same relationship that the Father and the Son have, it's the exact same relationship that you and I have. So now we're speaking about a oneness. We're speaking about a union with God as Jesus had with His Father. You and I have the same union with the Father and with the Son and with the Holy Spirit because of righteousness, because there's no barrier. There's no sin against us. And that renewal of the mind shifts everything because that is the entrance for you and I to experience what it means to be adopted into the family of God. And it opens up sonship. It opens up what it is to be a child of God. It opens up the scripture that God poured out His love into our hearts so that we are called His children. That's who we are, children of God, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. And it opens all of that and we start to live. We start to live now in a relationship with God that's very real. God the Father becomes really our Father. We start to know Him as Father. We start to know our Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, as our elder brother, the sinless one who has made it possible for us to come into the family. And it opens up the reality of the ministry of the Holy Spirit because simply we have received by the incredible grace of God His righteousness as a free gift for you and I. It's become ours. So now we are declared the righteousness of God. Okay, so it's a big thing to grasp this, to value it and to renew the mind and to begin to thank God that, Lord, today I want to thank You that I'm righteous in Your Son. The relationship that Your Son and You have is the same relationship, and that opens up the ability. Now you'll start to recognize how God speaks and you start to see the things differently because you are in agreement with truth, who you are in Christ Jesus. It changes everything. Okay, and that's part of the evidence of whether we have received by faith, we have taken hold of the gift that God has given to you and I. His righteousness as a gift. That's why Abraham, despite all his fallings and the lying and all the things that went wrong in Abraham's life, he was still considered God's friend because he was declared righteous, righteous in the sight of God. And so he had a relationship so he could communicate and God would share with him. Likewise with Moses. Moses simply believed, declared righteous, and he could go and be face to face with God in the tent of glory over there, simply because they believed. And throughout the Old Testament, it's always been the same. Everyone that believed was declared righteous. That's how it all works. It hasn't changed at all. Okay, so here we looked at that, and then what we saw and what we were emphasizing here is that since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. And we looked at that peace of God where that really is the wholeness that we have with God. And we used that example of a dub joint in carpentry where it comes. And now God has brought us into a wholeness with Him. And so that's why He heals the brokenhearted. And that's why with the gift of righteousness, what takes place? Remember, grace reigns through righteousness. Remember Romans chapter 5. Grace reigns. So now that we've received, now we're experiencing the grace of God. We're experiencing God's involvement in our lives. We're experiencing what we will look at just now, the law of the Spirit of life that's operating within our lives, bringing the transformation, bringing the healing. As we're walking in continuous brokenness, we know we have not yet received by faith and accepted the gift of righteousness. We don't have revelation of righteousness yet. We might have a doctrine of righteousness, but we don't yet know how to live in the life of this incredible righteousness because grace reigns through this gift. the life of the Spirit operating within us, bringing the reality of what Christ did on the cross into our lives. That's how it works, simply because of what God has given to you and I. And that brings the healing, that brings the restoration in our lives. So when you're dealing with folk that are chronic problem, always in the problem, always, now you can know, maybe they have not yet had the revelation of what they've received and they believed. Now you can open up, share the good news of God. There's a way that you can communicate that they can get the revelation and receive what Christ did for them on the cross and begin to experience the grace of God working in their lives. They have peace. There's an unbrokenness now that we have our relationship with God. We also had a look at this quickly, and then we saw over there that through Him we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. So again, because we've received the gift of righteousness, now we have access into this faith, into this grace in which we now stand. So that's why grace reigns through righteousness, as we have been speaking about that. And then we looked at how we begin to rejoice in our sufferings, because we know that the sufferings produce perseverance, perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given to us. And this is where we focused a bit, and it's important just to recap, because here we see that there's a justification. We see we've been declared not guilty. We have received righteousness. Here we see now that in all of us we have this access into this grace in which we now stand. That's this incredible involvement with God, this intimacy, everything that Christ has done. And then we go through life, the perseverance, the sufferings, etc. But that doesn't put us to shame. No suffering puts us to shame. Nothing like that does it, because God has poured His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given to us. And then we begin to understand something about this incredible love of God. Because Jesus says, when one of the leaders, one of the rulers, one of the teachers of the law came to Him and asked about the commandments, and Jesus, he asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus says the greatest commandment, first of all, is to love the Lord God with all your heart, your body, your soul, your mind. The second greatest commandment is to love your neighbor as you love yourself. Then He carries on and He says that the whole law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So if you go through the whole law and the prophets, you will see love the Lord God with all your heart, love one another as you love yourself. That's the reality. Jesus brings in the new covenant law. Now you continue to love God with all your heart, but now that you're in Me, you're going to love one another as I have loved you. So He takes it to another level because of Him doing an incredible work in breaking the power of sin. So we start to see there that this gift of righteousness, God declares us righteousness. We start to see something about how in Christ Jesus as a man, fully God but fully man, how He lived as a man and how He loved the Lord God with all His heart, with all His soul, with all His body. How He loved mankind as He loves Himself. So He is now bringing in, fulfilling the law. That's why Jesus says, I did not come to remove the law, but I did not come to abolish the law, but I came to fulfill the law. So Jesus is fulfilling the requirements of the law. Now we looked at that one there, where we saw there in Romans 13, that love fulfills the law. And that's what our Lord Jesus did. For God so loved the world that He sent His Son. When we had fallen short of the glory of God, Jesus now is fulfilling the law that man could not fulfill. He is fulfilling the law of the conscience that all mankind felt. He is fulfilling the law of Moses that that God had given to them. And that's why he so loved the world. He gave his life. So he's fulfilling all of that there. And because that perfect love is in us now. Now that we've got that perfect love by the Holy Spirit, that's the evidence for you and I to know that Jesus has fulfilled the law, the requirements of the law on our behalf, and we have got the gift of righteousness. So if you're experiencing, I'm loved by God, that's the evidence that you have received the gift of righteousness. Christ fulfilled the law because he loved you and I so much. Okay, and that's what we began to look at last Sunday. So today in Romans chapter 8 verse 1, we're going to look at a few scriptures, but just to give you the two scriptures we're going to be looking at. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, and we will look at that, God did by sending his own Son in his likeness, in the likeness of sinful man, to be a sin offering. And so he condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. So he has a shocker that how do we know we've received the gift of righteousness? We will know that sin no longer rules us. Too good to be true. We're praying this morning for the body of Christ to experience freedom. We're praying that the body of Christ will be able to experience this incredible gift of righteousness. And because we've received righteousness, there's something about a freedom that is so powerful. This is an incredible statement. And you will see Jesus makes the same statement now. An incredible statement that God the word speaks to us to say that, listen, with this righteousness that you have received, there's a new law, and this new law of the Spirit of life is so powerful that it takes you away and removes you from the power of the law of sin and death that was so powerful, controlling, getting your obedience. You've been set free from that. What a statement in this world where there's so much sin and turmoil, there's so much struggling with sin. What a statement the Word of God says that this is truth. What a statement for the body of Christ to be able to take hold of by faith and begin to realize, but this is my truth because of righteousness. That means there's a new law of the Spirit of life that sets me free from the law of sin and death. What a powerful statement. What a powerful truth. But not many believers believe it. And this is what we're praying for this morning. For that to be awakened. That believers, we will start to believe what God says to us. The evidence of the gift of righteousness. Not many believers come and they will make an excuse of why they keep on sinning. They will justify sin. They're denying the truth. Because they might have an understanding of a religious righteousness and they've not yet entered and experienced the incredible gift of Christ's life. His perfection that enables us to be free from our imperfections. In Him we live. In Him we move. In Him we have our being. Powerful. The good news of God for mankind. As He is, so are we in this world. So when we look at Romans chapter 8 and we start to see about this incredible reality of the whole thing of predestination in a way that is not Calvinistic or Arminianism at all, but to see what God's word is actually saying, we start to see this most incredible journey of God. about sonship and the reality now. This is the predetermined pathway. You've been justified. Now this is the journey. You will also be glorified. See, that's the work of the Spirit of life that's operating within us. That's the transformation that we're experiencing more and more. Freedom, 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 freedom. Because we're accepting what God has already done by faith. We're renewing our minds and we're starting to walk in the freedom that we have in Christ Jesus. So to understand Romans 8 verse 1 and 2, we need to first go to John chapter 8. Where Jesus is speaking, and he says to the Jews who believed him, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you know the truth and the truth will set you free. And they answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say we shall be set free? And look what Jesus replies. He said, I tell you the truth, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. If the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Powerful. Can you understand now the reality that God's gift of righteousness deals with us being a slave to sin, and now we are sons. We are children of God. We now have a permanent place in the house of God. The evidence of righteousness, sonship. And so, maybe you might experience this in your own life, but it's very often we don't really experience the truth of what it really is to be a child of God. We don't really know what it is, what sonship is all about. We live in fear. We don't know what sonship's all about. We live in anxiety. We don't know what sonship's all about. We live in all kinds of worry and all kinds of things because we don't understand, we don't not understand what it is to live as a true son in Christ Jesus. We don't see Jesus worrying. We don't see Jesus anxious. As he is, so will we in this world because of righteousness. So here we have this most incredible truth that Jesus is saying, guys, this righteousness that you have received, it's so powerful that the Holy Spirit comes now and there's a new law, the law of the Spirit of life that sets you free from the law of sin and death. And because you are set free from the law of sin and death, that is the evidence that you have a permanent place in the family of God. Because if you're a slave to sin, there's no permanent place in the house of God. We're no longer a slave to sin. That's the evidence. That's why you'll find that when we start to really embrace the reality of God's gift of righteousness, the first thing that takes place is straight away, just as the relationship with the Father and the Son is sonship, so it's the same thing. That starts to grow more and more. And we become so rooted in the fact that we are His children. He is our Father. It opens up another realm of intimacy with God, because we simply have accepted and believed what God has given to us, His righteousness. And from the place of sonship, this is where that starts to open up the way we minister, the way we do things. This is how we start to live in the reality of what the kingdom of God is all about. And this is how we start to minister and we start to walk and we start to be involved with many, many things, because now we're operating as sons and daughters in the kingdom of God, not as slaves captured by sin. We've been set free. And so let me read that again, because look what Jesus says. It's a powerful statement. Powerful statement. This is truth speaking to mankind. Christ is the truth, the way, the life. Let me read that again because it's so powerful. I tell you the truth. Anyone who sins is a slave to sin. And that's why righteousness is so big, because it sets us free from being a slave to sin. Because we are in Christ Jesus, and now there's a new power, there's a new force, there's a new law operating within us. I tell you the truth, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Jesus goes and he says, so if the Son, if I, Jesus Christ, I set you free, I'm setting you free from the power of sin, you will be free indeed. You will be free indeed. It's not half a job. It's a full deal. Jesus says, you will be free indeed. I'm doing a job. I'm going to do something on the cross that's so powerful that you're going to be set free from sin forever. No, you will no longer be a slave to sin. Do we believe these things? Later on, you'll see there in Romans where Paul writes over there, you can't put to death the misdeeds of the body, because people look, there's a law operating in our body. The law of sin is operating. You and I can't do that. It's only by the Holy Spirit that we can put to death the deeds of the body. Not by our own ability. It's the law of the Spirit of life that we have received through the gift of righteousness, that we are able to put to death the misdeeds, the law of sin that's operating within our bodies. You'll see that now. So Jesus makes a very profound statement there. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Has he set us free? Yes. So maybe we need to start to get in agreement. I'm free indeed. I'm a child of God. I have received God. I'm righteousness because you've given me your Son's righteousness. The same relationship, starting to renew our mind, starting to speak differently, starting to accept truth. And you see relationship changes totally. We grow into the oneness with God. Many years ago, I had an encounter with God, and it was this, I've shared a few times about a oneness that was, can't describe a oneness. And for years, I sort of, that's what I want, that I want. I didn't realize that I really had it. Because of righteousness, his gift, I've always had it. But it took a while to suddenly start to click again that, okay, that's what I experienced. It's not a once-off thing. That's a reality. And we have the same relationship with the Father as Jesus has. So we had a look at these things, and now let's go back to Romans. In Romans chapter 8, we read there, therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We need to go back to Romans chapter 7 just to see what Paul is speaking about. He's speaking about these two laws in verse 2. The law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. So we see they're referring to two laws over here. And then he also then refers to another law, for what the law was powerless to do, and that it is weakened by the sinful nature. God did it by sending his own Son. And so we see the requirements of the law being fully met in Christ Jesus. Now, often when we look at Romans chapter 7, the normal discussion on Romans 7 is the excuse to justify why our sin. You know that whole debate that Paul says, the good that I want to do, I can't do it. And so that's the normal interpretation of the scripture. So people often would use that to justify just the sinful behavior and, oh, woe is me, I can't help myself because Paul was, what a wonderful man, incredible godly man, and look how he struggled. They don't understand that Paul is speaking about a life in the reality of the law of God. And understanding the reality of the law that God gave through Moses. And the inability to deal with the power of sin that's operating within him. The law couldn't do that because there was a law of sin and death that's alive in mankind. And so Paul is explaining that, and we see here when he's struggling with sin, and I was going to read there from verse 21. So I found this law at work. Or first of all, he says, Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it. So Paul is describing the condition of all of mankind because of the fall of Adam and Eve, where now the power of sin became the real rule in mankind's life. So that's why no one taught us to lie, no one taught us to steal. It's a natural law that's operating. So within all of mankind, there is a force, there is a power of sin that commands our obedience. It commands our obedience. It's the law that commands our obedience to obey what that sinful desire is telling us to do. That's why we can't get set free. That's why we couldn't find a way to save ourselves from this law. It's from the fall of Adam and Eve. So this law is operating, and this is the law that Paul is speaking about over here that's in his body, because our body has got the corrupt nature in it, and it's this fallen, corrupt nature remember what sin is? It's disobedience. It's rebelliousness towards God. So this whole law is a rebelliousness towards the things of God. That's why the mind of the flesh cannot obey God. Okay? That's part of, because of this law. And so he's describing this, and he says here in verse 21, so I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. And I think we can all identify with that. All of us. This is humanity. This is real life reality. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. We can identify with that. But I see another law at work. But I see another law at work. And this is the conflict now. So in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body. Notice what it says, waging war against, pray for my throat. Okay, so in verse 22, in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war through the law of my mind. So now we see another law, the law of the mind, our conscience, the law of my body, this sin waging war, and there's the law of God. So I know the law of God, but inside of me there's this law of the sin that's waging war against my conscience and my knowledge of the law of God. This is the conflict that we're busy having. And then he carries on. And I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. What did Jesus say? If you sin, you're a slave. But I've come to set you free. So when we're wanting to use this as an excuse of our sinful behavior, this is war, blah, 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 we have not yet realized what Jesus said, but I've come to set you free so that you have a permanent place in the family of God and you're no longer a slave to sin. So I've come to do something that's going to provide something for you so that no longer will that law of sin waging in the members of your corrupt nature be the power that's going to hold you. You'll be able to now have another law that overrides that and sets you free from that law of sin and death. And that's what Paul is busy describing over here. And he says over here, waging war against the law of my mind and make me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members, what a wretched man am I? Who will rescue me from this body of death? Again, it's the body because the fallen nature in the body. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then I myself in my mind am a slave to God's law, but in the sinful nature a slave to the law of sin. So this is a big battle that all mankind has. We've all got a God-given conscience. Eat from the tree, you will know, you'll have the knowledge of good and evil. That's the reality. There's a law of the mind, the law of the conscience that's working in mankind. They cannot escape that powerful law of sin and death. And so now Paul goes on, but praise be to God, who's going to rescue me from all of this? And now, therefore, now he starts to bring in the solution of God, the gospel, the good news. Therefore, there is now no condemnation. So in that battle of the law of sin working and the battle of the mind and the conscience, etc., etc., no. Now we start to see, praise God, because now for those who are in Christ Jesus, you've received my son's righteousness. There's no condemnation. So righteousness now brings in another power that enables us to begin to get free. What is the blood of Christ? Cleanses our consciences. Okay? The blood of the animals could not do that. The blood of Christ cleanses our consciences. So now we start to see something profound opening up here. And he goes and he says, for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, the law of God couldn't not make us righteous because the law of sin was more powerful than what we were busy reading, the battle of the mind over there. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And he condemned sin in sinful man. In the original language, it makes it nice, yeah? He condemned sin in the flesh. And that's a better translation. Because this is what Jesus did. Remember, he came as a man. And here Jesus now condemns sin. He's taking the sin of man on his body. Speaking about his body over here. He's the sin offering. What does condemn mean? Here you see Jesus. Here you see the Father. That's why the cross is so big. Because here you see, here now, the power of sin is operating in mankind. Jesus, the righteous one, sinless. Here he fulfills the law, loving the Father, loving us, going to the cross, etc. And now, on the cross, here you see righteousness and justice. Now, the wages of sin. Jesus condemns the wages of sin. He condemns death with his life. He condemns the wages of sin with his righteousness. He's giving a verdict over death. He's giving a verdict over sin. He's giving a verdict over the power of sin in mankind. Justice. God's justice through his son Jesus. Destroying the evil, what sin and death has done to mankind. He did it. The gift of righteousness. What God has done, the good news, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten son, that who believes in him will not be condemned. But those who reject stand condemned already. Powerful. And so he says over here, the law of the Spirit of life. So the law is this driving, it's the authority that's operating within us now. And this authority overrides the law of sin and death. Those who walk in the Spirit will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The law of the Spirit of life. So Paul is saying to all of the church, listen, in our humanity, Romans chapter 7, that's the reality. But let me show you what Christ has done, who set us free. He's received his righteousness. Now, through this righteousness, there is a powerful law operating within us, and if we walk in the Spirit, it overrides that law of that fallen nature, that law, that corrupt nature that was so powerful. No longer am I a slave to sin. I no longer obey sin. Sin is no longer the law operating in my life. It's not, no matter how much it shouts, straight away I stop. But Lord, thank you that your law of your spirit is in me. It overrides that law. And the moment we just simply get into agreement, that's how you put to death the misdeeds of the body by the Spirit of God. Simply like that. Receiving what he has done, getting into agreement with that, taking it by faith, and you see there how suddenly that temptation, what temptation is gone. It's so powerful, the law of the Spirit of life. And that's the journey of us going into the journey of sanctification, of slowly but surely being transformed into the likeness of God. Ephesians 1 is a powerful scripture in verse 4 and verse 5, where we see the purpose of God bringing us, adopting us into sonship, to be holy. And that's this law of the Spirit of life. So, this Holy, the Holy Spirit that God has given to us, He's poured His love into our lives. This incredible power of the Holy Spirit, when we are accepting the gift of righteousness and this law of the Holy Spirit and embracing that and acknowledging the Holy Spirit's powerful work within us, you will experience, all of us, more and more the reality of adoption into sonship. We experience Abba Father. We experience a change taking place. We're experiencing more and more the freedom that comes, because when the Spirit is Lord, there is freedom, and we are being transformed from one glory to another because of the freedom that the Holy Spirit brings. And this is a key for the body of Christ now, for you and I. We help the believers that are battling. Share with them the gift of righteousness. Help them to receive God's incredible righteousness. Help them to understand that this law of the Spirit of life is part of the reality that grace reigns through righteousness. Help them to understand and help them to be able to come alive and experience the joy of being a child of God. Help them to get free of the guilty conscience that plagues them because they keep on falling into sin, and then the voice of the devil comes and the condemnation comes and all this taking place. Help them, show them that there's a better way. There's a way that God has provided because of righteousness. There's a way that you can begin to take hold of it, and slowly but surely, as you begin to get established in this truth, you will find the freedom of these habits. You will find the freedom of the way one thinks and the way one speaks and the way one reacts. You will start to find a growing freedom, from freedom to freedom to freedom. Help them to realize the good news of God. Help them to realize how powerful and how real is Christ Jesus. Help them to move beyond the book Jesus into the life of Jesus Christ. Help them to meet the real Father, the real Son, the real Holy Spirit. Help them to embrace and know the real God. That's part of the ministry and the message of reconciliation. So today is a day where we proclaim the name of Jesus, because we want people to be set free in our own lives. If we're honest with ourselves, we all find as we go, God will start to show, but you're not free from this yet. Straight away, when you expose to something that we're not free of, straight away, no excuses. Oh no, it's not because that Paul says in Romans 7. We don't go that route. No. Thank you for showing me, because Jesus, you said, where you bring freedom, I'm free indeed. So I want to thank you that I can now get freedom from this. Straight away, get the freedom. And that, then what's happening? We are being conformed into the likeness of Jesus all the time. The world needs to see the reality of the likeness of Christ in our lives. So, welcome to life-giving Christianity. So, Father, we're going to have communion now with you and with one another. And we want to thank you. Lord, we sit here and with you, Jesus, and we want to thank you that before that day came when in your mercy you revealed yourself to us, we were captured by that law of sin and death. We could not escape that, no matter how we tried. Thank you for your grace. Thank you, Jesus, what you did on the cross. Thank you that you emptied yourself and you came as a man, fully God, but yet fully man, so that you can bring justice through your righteousness. You could bring justice to that law of sin and death. What a joy that you've condemned it in our lives. What a joy that we can walk as you've given us your Holy Spirit, so that we can walk with your Holy Spirit and keep in step with your Holy Spirit. We can live in the reality of the freedom that comes because you have given us the Holy Spirit, and we can walk in the law, in the power, in the rule of the Holy Spirit within our lives, which leads to incredible reality of this life in Jesus, your Son, Father. So we have communion this morning, Father. We thank you that we can eat together, we can celebrate life. But I'm asking Jesus, as we just eat together this morning, that that prayer that you taught us about the kingdom of God, you also said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And today as we eat together, deliver us from evil. Deliver us from anything that's captured us. Deliver us from anything that's enslaved us with your truth, that we may today grasp and receive what you have done on the cross and find a total freedom in the victory. Father, I want to thank you for the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your law. And this we receive from you today, Lord Jesus, for your honor and for your glory. Amen.